It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Merry Christmas, everybody. How you doing? Yeah, I actually got two messages today, a DM and an email. People actually get offended. Why should I should say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas? You know, not for nothing. I know it's only two people, but, you know, there are other holidays out there that I don't celebrate, like Ramadan and others. And I wish those people who celebrate those holidays, you know, I celebrate Christmas. So I'm going to say Merry Christmas. I know it's politically incorrect for some people, but my God, it's the fucking holidays. Have a good time. Relax. Chill out. It's all good. How you all doing, everybody? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone. Hope everyone is having a wonderful weekend. I am. I spent the last 24 hours or so with my immediate family. So now for the next hour, I will spend it with my online family. La Nostra Familia. Much love. I hope everybody is having a wonderful holiday weekend. And as I said yesterday, and I will continue saying, you know, my thoughts are with everyone who are having a little bit of a difficult time during the holidays as well for various reasons. Losing a loved one, maybe, you know, a little down on your spirits right now. You know, believe me when I tell you, there is always someone out there that gives a shit. You know, and I know everyone here, including yours truly, do care. And we don't just say that to try to make you feel better. But really, you know, we want everyone, you know, to try to make the best of it that are going through some rough times right now. So let's get right into it. Because it is Christmas night, and my holiday is not over yet. It's been a little crazy here. And if you think I'm exaggerating, do a Google search. I'm not exaggerating. We had tremendous flooding in our neighborhood Friday. And I have a lot of customers who have flood insurance with me that I have to file claims for. Now, I'm not going to my office on Monday. And I know already that I'm going to have a flock of people standing in my door Monday wanting to file a claim because their basements were underwater. A couple of stores were flooded. We had crazy rain, and it forced Jamaica Bay to come up. And just do a Google search. Look at some of the news that's out there. There's tons of video. So, you know, my night's going to be crazy because by tomorrow, I guarantee you, you might still be sleeping Monday because they celebrate, it's a federal holiday, I believe, Monday. I will be up at 8 o'clock in the morning trying to contact as many customers as possible so this way they don't show up at my office. So I got a little bit of a busy evening. So, all right. So if anybody out there that is new to our sit-down episodes, the format is simple. I show up literally with a blank piece of paper, and you set the topics of discussion today. Whatever you want to talk about can be anything. AEW, WWE, non-wrestling, whatever you want to chat about, that's what I'm here for. The only, rules, number one, if you have a question, type the word question in capital letters in the chat so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment and you just want me to relay to everyone, write the word comment. Super chats are not required. They are always welcomed, appreciated. It helps me very much with the expenses, and you'll always get VIP priority status. And, you know, I had a few of you that have asked me, you know, hey, DT, you know, when I do a super chat, could you like do it earlier instead of waiting until the end of the show? And, you know, going forward, I will do that. All I ask is, you know, if it's similar to the topic of discussion at hand, you know, then I'll get into it right away. But if I'm talking about as someone said a few moments ago, Sasha Banks. If we're talking about Sasha Banks, you know, they ask me about Hook. You know, let's Hook maybe is, you know, involved with Sasha Banks, but let's try to keep it similar. If it's a different topic, then we'll wait a couple of moments. Now, speaking of Sasha Banks, Ronnie C. sent a five spot in a few moments ago. Thank you very much, Ronnie. Did I see the Sasha Banks clickbait today? I honestly have no idea what you're talking about. I did see some news places saying that she posted an interesting update today, and all I saw was that she wrote on Twitter, Monet Christmas. I mean, if that is what you're talking about, first of all, it's not interesting. Second of all, good, she's wishing everybody a Merry Christmas, a Monet Christmas. It's a little play on words. It's like me. I posted Miro Christmas, everyone. You know, because we can't say Rusev Day because Miro's still part of AEW. But instead of Merry Christmas, I wrote Miro Christmas. And I happen to have a picture of Rusev Miro with Santa hat on. So it's a play on words. I do know that Sasha Banks, you know, some of you may have gotten some money for Christmas. And I'm not saying this to be funny and I'm not saying this to be sarcastic. You know, if you are a deranged, yeah, I'm joking with that. If you're a deranged Sasha Banks fan, and you want to drop $250 her way right now, she has a Cameo sale that I think ends tonight, and she cut her price down to a whopping $250. Listen, that's a lot of money, but you know what? Not everyone out there gets the opportunity to get a personalized message from Sasha Banks. So, hey, if you got some extra Christmas cash, you know, you want to send it Sasha's way, go on Cameo right now because I think the sale ends tonight. It's $250. So, all right. Relic, happy 14 months as a channel member here. Much love. Hope you are having a wonderful Christmas as well. Let's do some shout-outs. We don't do that enough here. Shout-out to Gruss512, who's in his house. I sound so goofy saying that. Austin Nance, Guardian of Chaos, both holding down the helm. Chaos has a question for me. My thoughts on how huge pro wrestling was on Christmas Day back in the 80s and the 90s as a big tradition, and now it's non-existent. I am totally with you. I am totally with you. The problem with today is the lack of, you know, I don't want to say needing money because we all need money, but the lack of urgency with finance. You know, back in the 70s, the 80s, even the 90s, a lot of these wrestlers were making chump change. I think people would be shocked on how little some of your famous wrestlers were making, even in the 90s. I mean, look, once the Monday Night War started, and then you had to do these Uber contracts for like Hall and Nash, and then, you know, guaranteed contracts, and things changed. You know, some people don't realize that some of your Hall of Famers, even in the 90s, were only making a couple hundred dollars. An appearance, and that's on television. So I think now these days, oh, we got to get time off. Oh, we got to get this. Oh, we got guaranteed contract. The way they handle wrestling today is how offices or federal holiday, you know, like federal businesses. Hey, Christmas, I'm off. And I think that's pretty much where it's changed. I'm very surprised though that indie wrestling companies don't have more events on Christmas Day or even Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving, I remember as a kid, always looking to go to a wrestling event around Thanksgiving time. It didn't necessarily have to be on that Thursday, but Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, you know, you always wanted to go to a wrestling event. So I'm a little surprised that indie companies don't try to capitalize more on Christmas, because I'm telling you, you know, it's definitely a nice thing. And let's also be honest too. I think another reason why companies don't do it much anymore is because back in the 80s and the 90s, we really didn't have the internet. I mean, I know, you know, I've been on the internet since I think 1993, but at that time it wasn't, you know, our everyday life. You know, you go on the internet to socialize, go in a chat room, you know, do something. And understand this, even though by 1995, the internet was full blown, that you could surf and you could, you know, do everything. Understand the type of connection. Here, you could see me in 1080p and stream like megabytes per second. Back then, you wanted to download naked pictures of women, and if you have a 28.8 modem. I always tell this for younger folk out there, younger friends that are tuning in. Go on YouTube and just type in 28.8K modem versus today. They'll show you side by side how long it took to load a picture. And we always got teased back in the day. How many of you hornballs back in the mid-90s like me that would want to download a nudie pic? And then what happens is because it's 28.8 modem, you get the head, and then you get the ankles, and then you might get the stomach. And for some reason, the internet always knew to show you the chest area and the lower extremities last. You download a picture, you don't get it like this. You get a little piece of here, you get a little piece of here, you get a little piece of here. And then by the time you finally get to see the goods, you know, you're kind of not like in the mood anymore. And believe me, I tell you, especially if you had a high definition pic, God forbid it was 640 by 480. Oh my God, you'd wait 90 seconds. So I think that is why also back then we really didn't surf the net for hours and hours and hours at a time. We didn't have the smartphones. So now because it's totally consumed us, you know, I'm going to stay online tonight. You know, I'm going to stream from my phone. Oh, you know, I'm going to do this. So I think that is another reason why things are so much different today. You know, so, but chaos. I really am surprised still that some indie companies don't capitalize a little more. Do it on one Christmas. See what kind of business you get. You know, I think the problem also is getting wrestlers to wrestle on Christmas. I'm sure you probably contact your Carlitos and everyone else. Hey, you want to work Christmas? Were you fucking crazy? Are you fucking crazy? Are you dumb? You know, I'm spending it with my family. So I think you probably have a lot of wrestlers that don't want to work holidays either. So, all right. Michael Gonzalez is in the house. Iman Perry, Sam, Josh, X022. It's the Costanza. It's the Costanza. Sam and Kevin Milwaukee. Kevin, I actually saw the footage of George the Animal Steel, the Junkyard Dog, and Captain Lou Albano dancing. And I completely forgot that Steel and JYD were a tag team for a short period of time. Problem is, you know, it wasn't shown on television other than maybe like a one or two episodes of TV. So you're really not, you didn't get like a whole flurry of moments that you could enjoy. I only remember one, you know, from looking at the histories. But I did check it out, and I can't remember who it was. Somebody I got to give credit to, I'll mention him tomorrow. He actually brought it to my attention. So, E-Dub Harris, Marvin Segovia is in the house. What's going on? Big Time Baxter, did I see Jamie Hayter versus Sheeta Quarter Hours? Not yet, but I definitely will get into that on Monday. I think it should only be one quarter, though. Maybe quarter seven had a little bit of their match, but I'm definitely curious to see what seven and eight did. And listen, even if they lost 50,000 viewers, I'm not saying that they did. I have no idea what they did, but I say this with the utmost respect, and I am a fan of Hikaru Shida. I've said that before, but, you know, understand, for me, I don't want to watch wrestling just because it's a good match. I've seen tens of thousands of great matches in my lifetime. I like storyline. I like suspension of disbelief that somebody could possibly win, somebody could possibly lose. And if someone is a champion where I know they're not going to lose, I kind of like want a twist, not after the match is over. Everybody and their mother knew Carl Sheed had no shot whatsoever in beating Jamie Hayter for that championship. So I didn't care if it was a 4-star match, a 6-star match, a 10-star match. You know, it's like, I already know the outcome. You know, I've watched tons of women's wrestling that is top-notch. And sorry, AEW has treated Hikaru Shida like shit for the last year or so. So you can't just turn around and simply because she beats the bunny that suddenly, oh my God, she's getting a push. Let's see what Hikaru Shida does on AEW television over the next month. You know, no. And, you know, it's the perception. If you feel like somebody's getting, look at Emma. Look at Emma. You know for a fact that the internet wrestling community is not going out of their way to shit on Triple H about the use of Emma since she's been signed, because they want to keep Triple H as the opposite of Vince McMahon. So they'll give a little criticism to Triple H, but with Emma, there is no excuse whatsoever. Emma may be having a great time. Emma may be making a nice amount of money. Emma may be happy that she doesn't have to, you know, go, you know, bust her body like she was in Impact in other places. But you're telling me since she's been in WWE, she made a return? You know, all of the stock of Tennille Dashwood has dropped significantly. It's not her fault, but everybody keeps silent about it because they don't want to criticize Triple H that bad. But now, if Emma, look at SmackDown. What did people say in droves? Oh, why is Xia Li getting in a gauntlet? Why is Emma in a gauntlet? They haven't won any matches lately. Yeah, exactly. Now replace that with Hikaru Shida. You know, oh, but it was a 4.5-star match. I don't give a fuck. AEW has treated her like shit. They have given me no reason to think that she has any legitimate chance of getting a win. And she could have the vagina title. She could have this title, other this fed. I look at it the same way I did with FTR. That's nice. But I want to see what the company that's putting her on TV, I want to see how they are using her. Not bringing someone in that has tons of accolades somewhere else, and you keep celebrating the accolades somewhere else, but for some reason on your own dime, you know, they're not utilized the same way. FTR's record in 2022 under the AEW banner is horrendous. No one wants to point that out. Shouldn't surprise anyone if you took notice of that. All right, we got a $10 super chat from Big Sal. Big Sal is in the house. Big Sal says, hey, we got some Christmas colors today. Merry Christmas, big man. What was on the Christmas dinner menu at the DT household? By the way, you all like my Wanted Deli Man shirt? I think it's still available on Pro Wrestling Tees, and that's not a cheap plug. But believe me, you go. I'm not lying to you. I'm going to reveal something to you right now that you all probably don't know, but if you want to ask anyone else, they'll tell you I'm telling the truth. I have not changed the prices of my shirts in Pro Wrestling Tees store in about 5 years. Right now, every shirt that sells in a Pro Wrestling Tees store, I either make a dollar or I make 80 cents. That's all I make. So when I plug a shirt or something, I plug it more that maybe someone would get a kick out of having the shirt than me actually making money on the shirt. You see some of those shirts in a Pro Wrestling Tees store, you spend almost $50, you know, especially if you're a little bit of a bigger size and you just want a decent quality looking shirt. But me, I don't even make a buck. Seriously. So when I show something like this, this is kind of like a spoof of the Cactus Jack. That's actually my father's store name, and that's Deli Man, my old character. Somebody asked me the other day, do I regret not doing more with Deli Man? Hell yeah. I wish I would have done more. See the mask over there? There you go. There you go. There you go. I definitely, hey, you know, if Indie Fed wants me to do something lighthearted, I'd do it for the kids. I'd have fun. You don't think I would enjoy smashing someone in the head with a loaf of Italian bread again? Everybody talks about Pizza Guy. Oh, Mario, the Pizza Guy. Whatever the fuck his name. Luigi, the Pizza Guy. Oh, what about the Deli Guy that took the gizzards out of a chicken and tried to give someone a mandible claw with it? Or smashes the fucking bread over the guy's head? Or better yet, always keep your salami handy. You never know when you may need it. Wanted to shove the salami up his ass. You know, nice salami. I think Deli Man was ahead of his time. Only got that one shot appearance. All right, Big Sal, what was on the dinner menu? Sal, yesterday on the show, I said that I was going to show everyone a little video. I was going to shoot a little video of what I had today. I actually was going to bring in here tonight a piece of that hero that I was telling you about. But I ate that son of a bitch about 15 minutes before I went live. So what I did right before we went live was I downloaded, or I uploaded, I should say, a minute's worth of video. So if you want to see for about 45 seconds what was on the menu for tonight's dinner. Well, I'm going to show it to you right now. This was today. Maybe I'll MC a little bit in the background. Let's see. Nice. All right, that's my parents' house. There is some cookies, chocolates. That is scotch, flavored scotch. I had salted caramel flavor. No, whiskey. What am I saying? That was whiskey. That shit was good. My father had these little custom bottles of wine.
No, it's the peanut butter one.
He had little bottles of wine. He had some little bottles of wine. He gets these weird shit. All right, here's the food. Here comes the food. All right, there's the Italian hero. Those son of a bitches ate half of it before I even got there. There's the Italian hero. Those are a couple of gifts. Like my Joe Biden wrapping paper. Happy Easter, everybody. That's their living room. They were watching The Wizard of Oz. I hate The Wizard of Oz. Yeah, you got sausage and peppers. You got rigatoni alla vodka. No, that's penne alla vodka. You had shrimp oregano. I only shot a video, a minute of it.
It's like mojito elevator.
Yeah, they're still working on the house. We were going to go in the elevator, but my wife was afraid of going in the elevator.
All right, forget it.
Yeah, all right, forget it. So we had shrimp oregano, eggplant parmesan. We had sausage and peppers, the hero. Trying to think what else we have. There was something else. Chicken franchise. Fried zucchini. Zucchini just fried in oil. Just you shred it almost like a little thicker than linguine. I don't know if you've ever had that. That was pretty much it, you know. Somebody asked me earlier if we do the seven fishes. No. Maybe 20 years ago my mom would make like seven different types of fish. There's only one fish that I like. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I'm a Don Tony guy. Shirts are there also. I haven't updated the store in ages. You know, here's a little revelation. Most of us podcasters, we might sell five shirts a month, if that. It comes out to not much of anything. You might even see, you know, I don't want to cause any controversy. But, you know, some of the deals, especially when it comes to merchandise, you know, it's not fun when you get like a 6-month royalty check and you can't even buy like a good lunch with it. You know, I got a royalty check once not too long ago, and I think it was $31. And that was for like 6 months worth of stuff. I'm like, all right, you know, hey, I'm not going to complain. You know, it's better than nothing, but people don't sell the merchandise to really make money off of it. It's just, you know, people want to just represent and show off. So, Wombology's in the house. Mr. Vickers. Michael Gonzalez, why do I hate The Wizard of Oz? Oh, the movie's fine. I've seen it 900 times in my lifetime. It's like March of the Wooden Soldiers. Growing up, Laurel and Hardy, March of the Wooden Soldiers was one of my favorite movies. And after you watch it 100 times, it gets a little old. So I've seen The Wizard of Oz so much that I don't like it anymore. You know, for me, Home Alone is still my go-to because of Joe Pesci's performance and the other guy, you know, with the white afro, that white guy with the curly hair. Can't remember his name. And for years, I didn't like Macaulay Culkin. Soon as a movie came out or something with Macaulay Culkin, just by default, and that was because of that movie. What did I say the other day? My Girl, or whatever that movie's called. That movie came out, and I went on a date, and I went to the movies and watched that. I walked out of that movie theater, and I was like, anything Macaulay Culkin, I'm not fucking tuning in anymore. And then, you know, the rest is history. Dream 101, is it okay to watch Chris Benoit matches? Yeah. He's a fucking murderer. You know, just because it's 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, still committed a murder. Committed two murders. No, I mean, he's a murderer. You want to admire what he did in the ring? Go ahead. But you know, when people try to make the argument, oh, separate the wrestler from the person. Oh, he had brain damage. Oh, it was because of concussions. Oh, it was because of... You still fucking killed somebody. You still killed somebody. There's a lot of people that had concussions and had problems with their brain in sports that didn't kill someone. You know, you kill someone, you kill someone. And that's why Chris Benoit will never be in a Hall of Fame. And I definitely have empathy or sympathy. I think sympathy is right. I have sympathy for his friends and family that beloved him. And when they say this was not Chris Benoit, I believe it. I believe it. When his close friends are still to this day shocked beyond disbelief that he did what he did, I absolutely believe them. But he still killed two people. And whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to blame it on something and it makes you sleep a little better at night, you don't think if somebody in my family did something terrible, and I know that that person would never do something like that, I try to figure out, justify, come up with an answer. Okay, you know, she did what she did because of blah, 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 blah. And he did what he did because of this, this, and that. Oh, this, this, and you try to come up with the answer, and you could convince yourself until you're blue in the face, this is why Chris Benoit killed his family. You don't know. The only person that truly knows is Chris Benoit. And if you believe in God, God. That's it. You know, no matter what, I don't care if you dissected his brain and it looked like a fucking rotten avocado. You don't know why he did what he did. You know, we speculate. And for his friends and family that loved him and cared about him, they try to come up with a logical reason. Unfortunately, you know, he still did what he did. But if you want to watch his matches, look, for a long time, I mean, I'm going to say something now that's going to piss off a lot of people. For a long time, I honestly thought OJ did not do it. I honestly didn't think he did it, you know, and it's not just because if the gloves don't fit, you must have quit. But as I learned DNA, then I realized, oh, this motherfucker got away with double murder. Absolutely. But I will once in a while watch an old football game where he, you know, runs for 200 yards or something like that. I mean, it is what it is. But Stephen Bonner passed away. Wait, Stephen Bonner, why is that throwing me off? Bonner. Where's Stephen Bonner? Is this the, did we talk about him the other day? You know who I'm mixing him up with? The guy from WKRP. Was it Frank Bonner? Was that his name, Frank Bonner? Who's Stephen Bonner? I think I mentioned him the other day. Is he the, oh, from the UFC. Oh, I don't know who that is. I think I'm mixing him up with a movie star. I got to go check that out. I don't follow UFC. Never was a fan of Ultimate Fighting. Never got into it. You know, I was curious with a little Ronda Rousey, you know, when she started getting well-known. And sorry, I don't like seeing women punch each other in the mouth. I don't care if it's in a UFC ring, and you know, I don't care if it's on the set of the Ghetto Housewives of Atlanta. You know, I don't like to see women beating up women, whether it's, you know, in a controlled environment or not. It's just me. Just me. But I'll look into it. Rocky Red, what do I think are AEW's biggest challenges in 2023? And what should their goals and objectives be? 2023, I think AEW needs to... Tony Khan... Wow. You know, we talk about him, I always compare him as a petulant child who has to have every toy that's brand new. I got to have that toy. I got to have this toy. I got to have every toy that I always wanted, you know. And I think at some point, you know, it's almost like a food addiction. He's got a roster addiction that somebody becomes available. If they have any worth whatsoever, he will bring them in, even if it's for a short amount of time. And think of AQA. Anybody remember when he signed AQA? Anybody remember her? What has she done? Oh, well, she's training in the school. You know, well, you sign people to a developmental deal and you don't showcase it on TV like, oh my God, it's unbelievable, epic, amazing. Wow, what a score, what a win. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. And what has AQA done? Aqua. You know, Tony Khan has got to know when to say when. I think Tony Khan has got to stop hiring every person. You know, he's got to stop with the crackerjack surprises. He's got to stop with the lights going off every other week. He's got to stop with somebody showing up that people don't know or every week. He's got to stop with all these swerves. I mean, you got people turning on people. I still think about the Daniel Garcia thing. They built up the storyline where I'm a professional wrestler and he aligns with Brian Danielson. Like, wow, this is fucking great. It felt organic. And then 2 weeks later, no, I was only kidding. You know, Jamie Hayter, everybody thought it was building up to the split with Jamie Hayter and Britt Baker. Oh, it's organic. It's perfect. This is that later. And then she's like, I'm not leaving my friend. You know, and everybody, like, because it's a surprise, it's always good. And he's got to stop with the surprises. He's got to stop where every time, my grandmother, God rest her soul, she's been dead since 1991. My grandmother, and I've mentioned this before, every time she visited our house on Saturdays, she would always come with a little something for me and my brother. Pack of baseball cards, candy, cookie, something, comic book, whatever it was, she always would bring us something. And one time she didn't. And I don't remember, you know, what it was, but, you know, like, I was like, where's my little gift? And she didn't get one. And, like, she felt obligated that she's always got to get a gift. You got to stop making these fans believe that every week there's got to be a swerve. Every week there's got to be a turn. Every week there's got to be a surprise. Every week the lights have to go out. Every week somebody has to do. And, you know, that gets old very, very quickly. You know, I wrote this yesterday and pissed off some people, and I don't really care because facts are the facts. The House of Black are already being pushed into mediocrity. They have come back, waged war, and they beat up the fucking what? What have they done? You go after the biggest dogs in the yard. No, we go after the fucking, you know, lower than the low. You know, oh, we're going to play mind games on Ortiz and Eddie Kingston. And, oh, no, but at least they're back. You know, they got to stop and they got to trim their roster down. There are some people that should be on TV every single week that they're not. And they got to have a little bit better with the storylines, not just when it's 3 weeks before a pay-per-view. Those are the first two things that I would do differently. Those are the first two things that I would do. Riho, it's a little different because Riho, there is, you know, something, you know, with her contract and as far as traveling, and she has commitments for other promotions. You know, it's a little different. And, you know, Riho, it's much different. You can't compare Riho to the regular roster. AEW fan says that Stefan, is that the person early died from a drug? Oh, no, they're talking about Herb Abrams. Yeah, that is a major shift. That is a major shift. What are the possibilities of me doing a get-together in 2023, possibly a Mohegan Sun? It's tough, man. I honestly think if I do a get-together, I want it to be at a wrestling event because that's what we all have in common, wrestling. You know, hanging out at a casino or a diner or something like that is cool, but let's all fucking hang out at an indie wrestling event. I wanted to meet up with everybody at AEW so bad. And, you know, I've said it before. You know, I've had people, when AEW first came around, oh, when they come to Queens, we got to all get together. DT, you know, when AEW comes to Queens, you know, you want to do a get? Yeah, let's do it. And then they announced AEW was coming to Arthur Ashe Stadium. And at least seven people who all reached out to me prior to this announcement that said, hey, when AEW comes to our neck of the woods, let's all get together and do something. And when they announced Arthur Ashe, you know, I was waiting, you know, for a DM, an email, something from any of them. Hey, you know, DT, we're all going to get together. You know, you want to come down? You want to hang out? We'll go here. We'll go here. Zero. Not one person. The only person that reached out to me, and it was at the time it was really fucked up with the schedule, was JD from New York. He was the only person that reached out to me. But everybody else, I sat there and I watched them. Hey, we're all going to meet over here. Hey, we're all going to do this after. I was going to buy a whole block of tickets in a section and have like 50 or 100 of us all hang out in a section. And then I, you know, realized like nobody was going out of the way to contact me. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, so if we do it, I want it to be in an indie wrestling event. And whether it's something that I'm a part of or we go as a fan. So, yeah, doing something in 2023, absolutely. Or we do it at a wrestling convention, like the big event or something like that. You know, this might sound ridiculous to some of you out there, but several years ago, Vinny DeGuido tried to get me to get a table at Comic-Con and said, DT, come down. Come down. I'm telling you. Go bring Deli Man. Come down. I'm like, Vinny, I appreciate it, but no one wants to come see me, you know, with a table. They're going to be like, who the fuck is this guy? Even though, you know, I did what I did and it's very small, but still, I felt so out of place and I regret not doing it. And then, you know, that girl, Izzy, anybody know Izzy? Izzy Mania, Izzy, the wrestling fan, Izzy. She was at a convention not too long ago and she had a table. And I watched, I never mentioned this before, but I watched on social media. Sorry, everyone. Personal interruption. Hello?
Hi, Aunt.
Hi.
Aunt.
Yeah.
Tell me the truth. Swear.
Yes. Oh, no, no, I swear I didn't. No, no, no. Yeah, 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 I swear to God I didn't. No, 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 no. The only thing I did was the fireplace. I delete it. In fact, I'll even delete it in front of you. I will. I will. No, it was like 30, 35 seconds. He was talking about karate or something. Yeah, I'll delete it when I see you. Don't worry about it. I'm not, you know, I didn't record a show anybody. Don't worry. All right. Bye. You all appreciate this. My father was in rare form today. And he was telling us a lot of stories from back in the day. If you like the growing up Don Tony stories, you have to hear the stories of growing up with my father in like karate competitions. Because a lot of you know this, some of you may not. My father is, I thought he was just a triple degree black belt. He's got like 7 belts. And even my wife said today, you're technically a sensei. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, wait. You mean to tell me after 50 something years, I find out my dad's a sensei and I didn't even know it? But he was in rare form today talking about like things from yesteryear. And I took out my phone. I started recording it because my father's very charismatic. And halfway through it, you know, he looked at me and he's like, are you recording me right now? I'm like, no, no, no. I'm recording the fireplace. And, you know, he doesn't want anyone. He's afraid that I'm going to show everyone the story. So, yeah, I had to do that. So I have to delete it. Unfortunately, no one will be watching that. So. Where's the rest of that hero sandwich? In my stomach. So, what were we talking about earlier? We were talking about Izzy. I never talked about this publicly. A few of you had asked me a while back and I didn't bring it on the show. You know, Izzy had a table a couple of months ago and she was, had photos. She was signing autographs and people were really, really going after her, like, who the fuck is going to buy, like, a photo from a kid? Like, that's creepiness of that. And it's like, and then they were going after her, saying, like, who the fuck does she think she is? And I'm saying to myself, listen, you know, if that makes her happy and she wants to do it and the convention wants her to be there, you know, who are you and I to say who should and who shouldn't? But that's how I felt, you know, when people approach me and say, hey, you want to do this? Hey, you want to do that? I'm like, me? Nobody wants me to be. That's why I turned down the Chris Candido documentary. That's why I turned down two other things in the past, you know, because people would say to me, hey, you know, I want you to be part of this thing. And I'm like, who wants to see me? You know, the Chris Candido one, I regret more than anything. You know, his brother did that documentary, Johnny, and he did a beautiful job with it. Johnny asked me, he's like, I want you on it. And I said, Johnny, I would love to. I said, but nobody wants to see me. They want to see the ECW guys. You know, yeah, but you were friends with him and you have some great stories and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I just felt weird. Like, I even to this day, I can imagine people watching and saying, what the fuck is this guy? Who's this guy? What the fuck is he on there for? And I turned it down. Oh, yeah, Dreams has stopped turning things down. You're right. I don't want to say I don't turn things down anymore, but I'm very, very careful of what I Inc. deals with. You know, you might notice in 2022, I had two other deals involving other companies that I'm no longer doing. Unfortunately for some of you, Manscaped is still on the table. Tomorrow we'll be plugging the shit out of Manscaped. We got a cool deal tomorrow. But two others, I stopped. And if you notice, JD was involved with one of them also. He stopped. We both stopped together. We did not make it public why we left and what happened. But let's just say what we were promised was not what we got. And we professionally got together and said, okay, we're out. And we got out. You know, you make decisions and you learn from it. You know, believe it or not, even though I know a lot of people don't like JD, but the one thing that I love about him that he does that I do is he is professional when he does business. Like, you see people on social media, they will go on Twitter and they will fucking complain about Starbucks. They'll go to a deli and say, oh, why is this? And they complain about everything. Hey, JetBlue, I've been fucking waiting 40 minutes for my suitcase. And they know that they're going to get tons of people. And I'm like, you whiny bitch, just shut up. You know, you got a problem with a food, a restaurant, an airport, a cab, a this. You contact them privately. You know, they got to put it out there because they know they got tons of followers and they feel better that they got their whole army against these people. I'm like, yeah, you prissy little motherfuckers. You know, people don't like to handle their business that way. So, you know, we could have brought it public and we could have made, you know, this certain outlet look ridiculous. But we're like, hey, you know, you do business. If it doesn't pan out to what you were expecting, you know, there's a professional way to do it. And the cool thing about it is we both left the door open for the future. You know, you have to, you know, be careful. And that goes out to any of you out there. You know, you might be in a totally different field and you might get an offer to do something or be a sponsor or this or pick up an advertiser and be very careful. I remember recently that girl, Denise Salcedo, I remember seeing something with her on her social media where she inked a deal with some company earlier in the year, and that company did not come through with what they promised her. And she was really, you know, frustrated about it, but she did it the right way. You know, she took care of it privately, but she was trying to get help. And, you know, sometimes you might get burned. And in the world of pro wrestling, it happens all the time, especially with wrestlers. You know how many times promoters will promise wrestlers they'll give them a portion of their money up front, and then the turnout is garbage. And like, oh, I got to give you the money next week. Oh, can I give you a check? And a check bounces. You know, I could tell you right now, you know, a couple of friends of mine that are wrestlers, you know, were offered drugs. You know, listen, I don't have the cash. You know, we had a horrible turnout. You know, what if I gave you this instead? And offered wrestlers drugs. I can honestly tell you that none of them accepted it, but some wrestlers were offered drugs instead of money. You know, it's people get burned. I mean, it happens more than you know. All right. Gabriella's in the house. Sev Vavra is in the house. He says JD can't stand Denise. Well, you know, there's a lot of people that can't stand me either. You know, it's like not everybody's going to like everyone. You know, me, I try to get along with everybody. You know, I try not to burn bridges. I try not to have wars. The people that don't like me, I realize, you know, I could expose, I could bash, I could criticize, I could answer back, I could do this, and or and it's not going to change anything. So I'd rather just, you know, the people that don't like me, let them piss in the wind. You know what I mean? Let them say what they got to say. Let them vent when they got to vent. Let them try to, you know, make money off of me by, you know, trashing me and keep posting things and stuff. It is what it is. You know, you realize I'm not going to change their minds. And the people out there that don't like me or don't like my style, I'm not going to change their minds. You know, you just got to move on. Honestly, and realistically, it was the best thing that I've done, I think, in the last 2 years, is try to finally learn to just let those people go. People want to rag on you, you know, just let them talk. None you can do about it, seriously. It is fun to shadow ban people sometimes, though. All right, David Peralta's in the house. All right, let's get into some questions. Austin Ants with the Buckaroo, my friend, what's going on? Cerebral 619. For fun, who is my favorite superhero? My dad. I know. He is my superhero, but my all-time favorite superhero? Wow. This is no joke. When I was growing up, I wasn't into superheroes. Like, I like Spider-Man. I like Superman, Fabulous Four, whatever they're called, like Aquaman, you know, but I never had like giant posters in my room. You know, to me, like the greatest American hero, remember that TV show on ABC? He was one of my superheroes. I think if I had to choose one, probably would choose Batman. Probably would choose Batman. I always liked Batman. Always wish he would get rid of Robin. Seriously. Didn't they do something a couple of years ago where Robin revealed that he was gay? Like, I don't care. Whatever floats your boat is fine with me. I respect it. But didn't they try to do some controversy where Robin revealed that he was bi or something? Like, why even bring up sexuality on there? Like, if you're going to do something like that, reveal that Batman slept with Batgirl. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know. Tristan Sloan, do I like King of Queens? It's okay. I have watched episodes. I like it. It reminds me a little bit of, I don't want to say Honeymooners, but some of you will know why I try to compare it that way. I think because of the relationship, the way they are. But I never got into like a groove of watching it. Like I'd watch an episode or two. I might watch 2 weeks in a row and then I would stop. It was always like that with that show. Believe it or not, that's how it started with me with Seinfeld. Like I'd watch an episode, you know, why is everyone got to do this? And I'm like, this dumb bastard, like, this is like everyday shit. Then I realized that's what was so special about it. Like, the shows were really much about nothing. And it's like, oh, my God, look at how much they fucking made off of that shit. Just talking about everyday stuff. So I never got into King of Queens on a repetitive basis. Seinfeld, it clicked. Seinfeld, it finally clicked, and every single week I had to watch it. So Martin was awesome. I still watch episodes of Martin once in a while. I've said this before. I had a crush on his girlfriend. What was the girlfriend's name? I had a crush on her back in the day. I thought she was insanely attractive, you know. But I used to get mad at Martin. I'm like, why is she with this fucking guy? And then I realized, like, I better shut up because Martin probably could steal my own girls. So, Gina, yes. Gina. Martin was good, man. Martin Lawrence is good. He was great. In Living Color was awesome too, man. I used to love In Living Color. That was a great show. What was the show that Queen Latifah was on? There was a couple of girls, Living Single, I think it was. That was a great show. I think one of the cast members passed away recently. I think one of the guys recently died. I know a guy on Martin passed away, too. I might be mixing up both shows, but those were great shows, man. Living Single was pretty good back in the day. Kim Fields was on there, too, right? Kim Fields. I never liked Facts of Life when I was younger. I don't know, for some reason, I always wished ill on many of those cast members, especially the mother, I did not like her at all. I didn't like Different Strokes growing up. You know, I know I caused controversy in the early 2000s or mid 2000s doing a podcast. And I said, there was just something about Frank Drummond or whatever his name was with the two sons that just didn't seem to add up, you know, and it's not because the kids were black and he was white. It just never felt like a father and son relationship. Anybody that watched Different Strokes on a weekly basis may understand what I'm saying. Like, I don't care if, you know, a parent is different color than a son or if it's adopted. But I never felt that Mr. Drummond was like the father of these kids, like adopted. Like, he never acted like a dad. It almost felt like he was more of a guardian. And he was talking like he knew it all. Like he was, it just felt like he was just talking down. I don't know. It was just something about him. So what happened to the daughter is tragic, man. She fucking was writing up fake prescriptions and she robbed the place for drug money. And then she killed herself. She OD'd, man. Sister was good. The nanny, believe it or not, Fran Drescher, she was attractive and, you know, she was funny. I couldn't get past the voice, man. Seriously. It's like a sexier China. Like her voice was just, and even when she would laugh, I can't even do it. I don't even want to think about it. I just couldn't get past the Mrs. Garrett. Yes, that was her. Even though, you know what, the one episode of Different Strokes that always shook me when I was a kid was the guy from WKRP. Didn't he have like a bicycle shop and he was going to try to like molest like the kids or something? Like that broke my heart, man, because WKRP in Cincinnati is one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I fucking will binge watch that show until I'm dead. I still watch it to this day. And when I watched that Different Strokes episode, like I never got past that. Like I'd always look at him in the DJ, you know, in the thing. And I'm like, wow, you know, I still think about that episode where he was, I tell you, I'm very curious if he's ever commented publicly, if he maybe regrets doing that episode. That was a wild episode at that era. And being a kid, that episode was pretty fucking powerful, man. Never liked Mr. Belvedere. Never liked him. Seriously, like the male maid, I always wanted him to like slip on some cleaning fluid and just like crack his head open and they replace him with somebody else. Never liked Mr. Belvedere. Never liked Alf either. Alf was everywhere at that time. I mean, it blows me away that the wind-up Alf dolls are worth like thousands of dollars today. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. I remember like having it in my house because my mother had one. And even like, who's that guy? The one that got caught jerking off in a XXX movie theater. You know, I'm talking, who's that guy? That guy I couldn't stand. But we had memorabilia in the house. My father bought the wind-up doll for my mom, too. That son of a bitch is on eBay for like $2,000. Pee-wee Herman. Never liked that show either. How do we get on like vintage TV show? Hey, like this is a great example of what I mean for Sunday nights. We talk about whatever. Seriously, if you want to shift back to wrestling, throw a question up there and we'll shift back to wrestling. What was the Mr. Belvedere was with Bob Uecker. I never liked Mr. Belvedere, but I like Bob Uecker. Love Bob Uecker. Just, oh man, makes me laugh. That guy makes me laugh so much. Like, people, you don't understand. They put him in the WWE Hall of Fame, and they put him, like, people to this day are like, what the fuck is Bob Uecker put in the Hall of Fame? You don't understand. Just watch his induction speech, and you'll understand. Like, that's someone who you make room for the Hall of Fame just to get the opportunity to have him do stand-up for a night. Bob Uecker was awesome, man. He made those Major League movies for me. Just a bit outside. Favorite WWE films movie? Boy, you know, I'd have to look at the list of movies to rehash it. But See No Evil. Even though I don't like horror films anymore, I thought Kane's performance was tremendous. It blows my mind that Kane did not have a bigger Hollywood movie career as, you know, a killer. I mean, he should have, I'm not saying he should have been on the level of a Jason or Freddy Krueger or Pinhead or anything like that, but Kane, I mean, how does this guy not get movie offers from some of the biggest and the baddest in the horror film industry? It baffles me. I mean, I know he went into politics, but still, it just blows me away to this day that Glenn Jacobs did not have a bigger Hollywood career as a killer. Charlie Family Ties, I absolutely loved back in the day. My favorite episode, you have to be a Family Ties fan to really appreciate it. My favorite episode is that two-part episode where it was almost like an off-Broadway play when his friend died and, you know, Alex Keaton was doing like a retrospect. And he was thinking about, like, they think he was talking to a psychiatrist, and they kept dimming the lights, and he would do, like, a one-man performance. He talked to his sister, he talked to his mom when he was younger. That performance is brilliant, brilliant. I was a big fan of Family Ties back in the day. Really, really enjoyed that show. Absolutely loved that show. My favorite all-time horror gimmick in pro wrestling, Gabriella Valentin, is asking. My favorite all-time horror gimmick. Huh. That's a damn good one. As far as monsters go, boy. You know what? Some of you in the chat room, post your favorites. Leatherface probably would be from Japan. I mean, people are still blown away, you know, when they figure out who Leatherface was as far as a WWF wrestler. Leatherface was a pretty damn good gimmick. I mean, he did great in Japan. We're talking about pro wrestlers, everyone. We're not talking about just movie characters. Leatherface was a pro wrestler, and that was a gimmick in Japan that they did, and that was Corporal Kirshner. You know, a lot of people don't know that Corporal Kirshner ended up being Leatherface. And people are like, what? Yeah, yeah. I have to go with Leatherface. The more I think about it. See, Undertaker was a monster, but he wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, I don't consider Undertaker a monster. The Deadman gimmick, you know, the special effects, but I don't know. I don't put it in that category, and especially when The Undertaker morphed into the American Badass and stuff like that. I don't know. For some reason, I don't put Undertaker simply as a monster. The Boogeyman was awful, man. But you know what? Boogeyman, I give him credit. That guy is probably doing the most out of nothing. Like, the guy's got an incredible physique. And the guy was not very good in the ring. And yet, after all these years, that motherfucker is still doing that gimmick. And people are still buying into it. My claim to fame back in the day. And I used to come up with ideas. People still get blown away listening to the old episode when Bryan Danielson, when he was first Daniel Bryan and couldn't get over in the WWE, I said, yeah, I think he needs to grow facial hair and grow his hair really long. Just something visual about him. But back in the day when Boogeyman first went to WWE, I thought WWE's got to come out with gummy worms. That guy is drooling live night crawlers, gummy bear, gummy worms. Put it on sale. They would have made a killing on gummy worms. And they never did at that time. It blew me away. I remember on my episodes, I put it in the titles. WWE, what are you thinking? Gummy worms. He never did it. Killer Khan wasn't a monster. That guy was just a maniac. That guy scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Killer Khan, when he would scream, I'm not going to do it now. Because first of all, it wouldn't even sound like him. Like, I'd have to hear him first and then do it. But when Killer Khan used to let out those yells, I was like, at that time, the only thing that ever sounded that way was when I would inadvertently step on my parents' old dog, accidentally step on his paw, and trust me, he sounded just like Killer Khan. You know, Killer Khan was scary, man. I saw Killer Khan up close. My grandmother took me to a WWF event back in the day. It was, I think, 1983, and we were sitting second row. And that guy was like literally within 30 feet of us. And he let out that yell. I almost peed my pants, man. That guy scared the shit out of me as a kid. My top three live concerts. I haven't gone to many live concerts in my lifetime, but going to Prince and a Revolution in 1985 is my favorite of all time. It wasn't Pink Floyd in person, but we went to a light show in the 90s for Pink Floyd. And for some of you out there that may not know what that is, back in the 90s, and they probably still do it even, you know, in the 2000s or maybe even later than that, they would do light shows and you would go and they would just play Pink Floyd music and it would be all laser lights and everything. And people would go and do drugs. I mean, me and my friends, we would just drink wine coolers or some would smoke weed, but just watching a laser light show and listening to Pink Floyd music, that was awesome, man. And the first concert I ever went to, my parents took our family to see the Jacksons in 1984, the Victory Tour. We saw the Jacksons in concert. So those three, you know, I mean, a lot of you have seen the pictures. I took my ex-girlfriend to see Paula Abdul and fucking Color Me Bad opened up for her. Color Me Bad is in my top five of like groups that I hate with a passion. I just hate with a passion. I'd rather watch QT Marshall for 8 hours straight. The best of QT Marshall, I'd rather watch him for 8 hours than ever listen to even 10 seconds of a Color Me Bad song ever again. Hated that song. Hated that group. I want to sex you up. Prince was awesome, man. That guy, even if you didn't like his music in 85 and it turned pop, I was a big fan of Prince before he even made it. When he had the, when he looked like a hardcore Puerto Rican with that hair, he looked like Chico from Chico and the Man from 1979. But when Prince, you know, made it with Purple Rain and he did the tours, that guy put on performances like no one else. I went to a Madonna concert once. I didn't like it. You know, something about Madonna, and I'm sorry if I get anybody mad, but there's something about Madonna, like you watch her live and in person, for some reason she sounds like a man sometimes. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, I think about, you know, her early days, you know, singing, Physical Attraction. I used to love that song, Like a Virgin and all that stuff, Vogue and others. Justify My Love. My God, you played that when I used to DJ back in the day. And you cranked Justify My Love. That beat, the bass out of it, was incredible. And then you'd go live and in person. And it sounds like she fucking took testosterone before she went live. You know, I don't know. Something about her live. She doesn't sound remotely. And then you ask yourself, how much do they auto-tune Madonna when she is in the studio? All right. Back to wrestling. Kishon, am I interested in the Elite versus the Death Triangle 7-match series? He isn't. If anybody remembers, they first announced it. My argument was, you just told the fans it's going seven. That's mistake number one. And the reason why it's got to go seven is the same reason why I said this before they even had match one. You just announced in certain towns where these matches are going to occur, what date. So, yes, there are some fans that may go, and it might be a decision maker to see that match, especially, oh my God, I get to see match seven. It's in my area. Of course I'm going to go see it. Now imagine you bought tickets expecting to see the deciding match, and then it ends at six. You know, this isn't like the NBA playoffs or Major League Baseball where, like, oh, I got tickets for game seven in a World Series, and then it ends in four or five, and you're like, motherfucker. No, this is pro wrestling. They know it's scripted. So if you advertise match seven in Baltimore, Maryland, let's say, and then, you know, the Elite win four matches to two, and it doesn't happen there, people are going to be pissed off because they know this is entertainment. It's not, you know, it's predetermined. So you knew that you were not going to have the match there, and yet you advertised it. So by them doing as best as seven and announcing the dates, they fucked it up. If AEW would not have announced when these matches were going to occur on certain dates, I'd have a total different view about it. The minute they did that, I said, oh, it's going seven. So another thing I said right at the beginning is they have to have certain gimmicks. They need to do no DQ. They need to do this. They need to do that. In fact, I've said this last week, match seven should be a cage match. Match seven should involve a cage. And I think it will. I will almost bet anything you want to bet, there's going to be a major gimmick to match seven. It's either going to be a cage or it's going to be something. I don't even think they're going to do exploding shit. After the debacle with Moxley, they're not doing exploding stuff. So adding the gimmicks make it a little better, but you gave away it's going seven. You know, people said last week, I brought this up Wednesday, people brought up last week, oh, it's a must win for the Elite. I'm like, no, it's a must lose for the Death Triangle. Just like this Wednesday is a must lose for the Death Triangle. There's no way the Death Triangle's winning Wednesday. You told people that match seven is going to happen here. You're not going to go against your word. So that's my feelings about it, to be honest with you. Jeff, you could do a best of seven and have someone win four matches in a row, but you can't advertise where these matches are going to occur in advance, because you will get some people, even if they didn't buy the tickets because they were expecting that match, you will have droves of people that will complain anyway and say, oh, they announced the match if it match six in my area, and they only did four, and they knew, and they lied to me, and I bought the tickets expecting it, and I didn't get it. You'll see people doing that. It's predetermined. So if they should not have announced it, and they did it in advance because they want to sell tickets. I mean, I understand why they did it. Not, I mean, business-wise, you know, you got to, I guess, but creatively it was a blunder, in my opinion. But no one out there, for the most part, the people that matter, they're not going to open their mouth and say that. But, you know, adding the gimmick, you know, helps a little bit. Stephen Chambers, watch it, won't be a winner because of the House of Black. Oh, no, no, no. There'll be a winner. There'll be a winner. The House of Black, like I said, they should have immediately when they returned, when they waged war, you know, they should have immediately tried to get involved with both teams or something. They could have tried to have gotten involved, and I'm not saying they should have been suspended or anything like that, but they should have caused some bullshit and just leave that impression that, oh, they're not fucking around. They're going after the top of the top. But no, you know, they're going after the Dark Order. They're playing mind games. You know, they're cutting promos, like, man. Or you know what? Maybe they should have waited a month before having the House of Black return. do vignettes. Do vignettes. When they return, they put, you know, it's death sentence on everyone. Let the best of seven happen, and then when the House of Black make their return, they beat the fuck out of whoever ends up the trio's champions and just go right into that. Instead, they're beating up AR Fox like I give a shit. They're beating up Serpentico like I give a fuck. They're playing mind games on Eddie Kingston and Ortiz like I care. It's like, come on. All right, let's see. How long are we going? Wow, we already went longer than I thought we were. I'll stick around for 20 more minutes. We can stick around. All right, here's cool. Kevin Milwaukee won a Wolfpack shirt for winning the Crown Jewel Predictions Contest. And for Christmas, his mother bought him the black NWO shirt. So he's got both. That's very cool. You know, it's funny when I do contests, like I always say, $50 gift card. $50 e-gift card. Amazon, AEW, WWE, because I want it simple. You win, I send you the money, I'm done 5 minutes. Kevin Milwaukee, the pain in the ass that he is, and I say that jokingly. He's like, hey, DT. And I'm good. I love challenges like this. Hey, he's like, hey, DT, send him the money. He's like, any way you could get me an original NWO red Wolfpack shirt? Now, you go online, there's a lot of bootlegs. Tons of bootlegs. But he's like, nah, I want an original. I was like, okay, I think I'm up to the challenge. He's like, I can't find one for years. So I contacted someone who used to have a memorabilia store. And I said, hey, you know anyone that could get me the original Wolfpack, you know, the red shirt and the one with the wolf on the front? And he's like, yeah, what size you need? And, you know, I told him the size. He's like, all right, you know, you got to give me a couple of weeks. All right, what happens? Literally within, I think, 10 days, I get an email from the guy. He's like, yeah, I found you one, brand new. And I'm like, please send it to me. And we got it. So, you know, things like that, you know, it's like, okay, if you're going to go against the rules, make it good. And we were able to find one. And now he's got the original black shirt also. That's cool, man. I like vintage shirts. That, you know, I mean, yeah, this is Deli Man one, but I got tons of vintage shirts. And I don't like the bootlegs. For some reason, even though the bootlegs may look identical, there's just something about putting on a shirt that you know is like 20, 30 years old, and it still looks good. And, you know, once in a while you wear one and, you know, you go to the store for a minute, because I don't like being seen in public wearing wrestling shirts for some reason. But once in a while, I'll wear a shirt in public and be like, oh, man, cool Terry Funk shirt. Somebody will be like, yeah, Funker for life. Okay. Let's start bringing this home a little bit. Michael Gonzalez is asking me thoughts on the Mets offseason so far. I don't like all this controversy with Carlos Correa. But, you know, if that is all good and he is healthy to play, man, you know, fucking all the Mets have to do, I've said this for 2 weeks in a row, get another closer, have two top-notch closers, and I think the Mets are going to be the favorites to win in 2023. Rocky Red, what's my take on a report that Triple H almost fired D-Von Dudley if D-Von appeared at the BCW Extreme Reunion show due to the show trying to make money off of ECW? Did D-Von make that claim? Who made the claim that D-Von was almost fired? I mean, listen, I get it. I know what some of you are going to think immediately. If D-Von wasn't the one to say it, he's never going to come out there and publicly say it because he is working for WWE, so he'd be out of his mind to come out there and say, yeah, I almost got fired for it. I don't think it was that extreme. I honestly don't. You know, showing a little bit of love for ECW, I mean, let's be honest. You'd think BCW made a crazy amount of money off of this. I saw the pictures. I love ECW. I'll always pay tribute in some fashion. Watching all the people there, it was wonderful. I don't think it was that extreme. I don't think it was that extreme. I think that maybe D-Von Dudley may have had commitments for WWE and, you know, was told, no, we need you for this show. We need you for this. You know, unfortunately, we can't, you know, oblige. And if Devon said, I'm fucking going anyway, yeah, then you might be causing yourself a little bit of problems. I don't believe it. I'll be honest with you. I'd be very surprised. Now, you know, let's understand something. You remember Hardcore Homecoming? Remember 2005, I think it was, Hardcore Homecoming? I was supposed to do the bus trips. Shane Douglas asked me to do the bus trips for that event. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that when Hardcore Homecoming wanted to have certain people on their show, or when WWE tried to sue me because I was advertising it as an ECW reunion show, understand that one of the persons that was involved with Hardcore Homecoming was Jeremy Borash. Jeremy Borash was part of NWA TNA at the time. And, you know, there was that feeling that there was some TNA influence on this show. Even more of a reason why WWE was not going to have let that happen the way it was being advertised and pushed. So I don't think there was any AEW involvement with this BCW show. If there was, then I could see WWE balking at it, but I don't buy it. I don't buy that Devon was almost fired if he would have showed. I think that's exaggerated, and I think there may be a different, totally different reason that nobody is thinking about. And you know what? I will almost bet you that at some point, Devon will talk about this publicly and will clarify, you know, what actually happened. And if Devon says, I was never threatened to be fired or something like that, I had some pride, I will believe him. I will believe him. Big Time Baxter, have I heard Dave Meltzer's latest excuse for stagnant AEW ratings because of rapid cord cutting? Listen, let people come up with any excuse they want. When the ratings go up 20%, is he going to say that Spectrum had a blockbuster sale and a whole bunch of people decided, let me get cable back? You know, I want my cable back. He's not going to say that. So let him believe that. Let people believe what he's saying. Hey, if people want to believe that, so be it. You know, the fact is, I don't believe it's because of cord cutting. And also, people with Nielsen boxes, you know, let me put it this way. These people have Nielsen boxes that are supposedly cutting the cord. I mean, if you have a Nielsen box, you're probably old school. You're probably a much older person. I mean, how many of you out there think that somebody between the ages of 18 to 34 years old somehow got a Nielsen box over the last 5 years or 10 years? Don't you get the feeling that whoever has the Nielsen boxes are probably some old, old, old people from the 90s and the 2000s? I don't know anyone that's ever gone on Twitter and say, hey, I got my Nielsen box today. Even if they don't watch wrestling, do a Twitter search. Type in Nielsen box or type today with it. Let's see if anybody in the last 5 years has ever gone on Twitter and say, hey guys, guess what? I got my Nielsen box today. I've never seen anybody write that. So if he wants to say that people with Nielsen boxes are suddenly cutting the cord, what is that based on? What is it based on? Is there any data that says, you know what, 100,000 people with Nielsen boxes have decided to cut the cord? There is none. You know, you start dissecting, you realize that he's guessing. He has his right to do that. People want to believe it, let them believe it. You know, I don't believe it. But guess what? Maybe he has some scientific data to back this up. I wish someone out there would ask him, Dave, do you have any articles or data to back up that Nielsen box owners are suddenly cutting the cord? I Maybe there is. My hunch is no one has bothered to ask. Roger Rubio, thank you for the coffee money. I will definitely buy some coffee tomorrow. I'm gonna need it, man. I wanted to have a cappuccino tonight so bad, but I got to get up so fucking early tomorrow and work on claims. My neighborhood got flooded Friday from the storms. Flooded bad. Like a new Google search, type in Howard Beach, Queens, New York, flooding. You'll see what I'm talking about. So I have a lot of people, and I wanted to take off tomorrow. I wanted to take off, take it easy, you know, spend half the day in the bathroom shitting my brains out for everything that I ate today for Christmas dinner. But unfortunately, I do have to work, but I'm going to work from home. McDonald's or KFC? For me right now, it's McDonald's. I haven't had KFC in about 5 years. I have passed Kentucky Fried Chicken in my neighborhood. Almost every day when I leave my office, I pass a Kentucky Fried Chicken. I have more than one occasion almost went into the parking lot and ordered chicken. The problem is their chicken is so salty. And how many of you out there, you probably won't admit it publicly, how many of you out there bought the extra crispy Kentucky Fried Chicken, ripped the batter and the skin off of the chicken, threw the chicken out, and ate just the batter? If I ever owned a Kentucky Fried Chicken, I would definitely, for one day only, I would say, hey, everyone, how's about a bucket of skin and batter? No meat. I bet you would get a lot of people that would do that. I've done it. I admit it. But my problem is, if I go to Kentucky Fried Chicken right now, I only eat white meat. I don't like dark meat. I'll buy a bunch of breasts, and I'll end up eating them all. And, you know, I really don't need to gain any weight, so. All right. Popeyes is not bad. There is a Popeyes not too far from here. Believe it or not, some of you have asked me to record where the mob used to dump all the bodies in my neck of the woods over here. 5 minutes away, I live right where they used to dump all the bodies. And there's a Popeyes right there. And I, when it gets a little warmer out, when I record that area, I might stop by the Popeyes and get some food. So, yeah, there's some wild shit over here. In this neck of the woods, man, there's some wild old mob stories. Jesus, it's crazy. McDonald's should bring back the Mighty Wings. I guess, you know, they were not a hot item in my neck of the woods. The McRib, I'm a little, like, bothered by, because the McRib, they're trying to play off that it's never coming back. Why? I mean, you know, it's not like it cost a crazy. Listen, when they had McPizza, I do remember McPizza. And I do remember McOther things. And the problem is that it takes a lot longer to cook it. So time is one of the reasons why things go away, other than it doesn't sell well. But when the case in a McRib, it should not take that long to cook it. So I don't know why they're teasing that they're getting rid of it. I don't believe they're going to get rid of it. The McRib has definitely gone down in quality over the last bunch of years. I mean, back in the day, I used to eat McRibs like crazy. And it was a discussion that I would have on my shows quite often. The McRibs now don't taste anywhere near as good as what they used to. Very, very bland. Very bland. Jeff thinks the McRib will be back every year. Yeah, I think so. I think they're just clickbaiting. And you know what? At the end of the day, you know what? People are going to say, oh, McDonald's lied. But you know what? Good. I'm glad they lied because I want a McRib. So I don't mind if they lie in this case. I do remember the Shamrock Shakes. They were green. I do remember those. Austin says the quality has dramatically gone down. Yes. Like several podcasters out there. All right. We're going to get out of here in about 4 minutes. So if you have any other important, pertinent questions that we need to discuss, make them good. Let's get into it. Now, let me give you a little programming reminder. Tomorrow, we have the absolute best of 2022 WWE. So we will have highlights from the year. I don't know who it's going to be hosted by. Someone told me that it might be hosted by Corey Graves and Michael Cole. I'm not sure about that. But you know, they're supposed to be like in the back or in the building, empty, talking about highlights. We will see Cody and Seth Rollins a little bit. You will see the return of Bray Wyatt. You will see lots of Roman Reigns. You will see a little bit of Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns from SummerSlam. You will see Bianca Belair getting the WrestleMania moment. That's some of the things we will see tomorrow. I am going to do a show tomorrow night because we do have some news to get into outside of just WWE. A lot of you want me to talk about the Lacey Evans autism stuff. I haven't talked about it yet on the shows. So I will give you my honest take about that tomorrow. I saw tonight a few of you asking me to talk about Quincy Elliott. Quincy Elliott of NXT may have some big issues going on right now. I think I'm going to wait till Wednesday to talk about that because a lot of people that tune in on Mondays don't watch NXT or AEW. Legit. So NXT-related stuff, we might save it for Wednesday. But I will tell you right off the bat that I think Lacey Evans made a big mistake talking about this topic. She has every right to believe what she wants to believe. That's what our right is in a free country. You can believe stupid things. The thing is, though, is, you know, it's a topic that even if you stand by it, it's like, why did this... That's what I really want to discuss more than anything. Like, why did this come out of nowhere with her? You know, so we'll probably touch on that tomorrow a little bit. Jerm Westbrook. Do I think the Bloodline will turn on Sammy at a premium live event or SmackDown or Raw? That's a great question. That is a very good question. I think the Bloodline turns on Sami Zayn on a SmackDown. I don't think it'll be a premium live event. I think something will happen at a premium live event that will bleed into SmackDown. And I think, like, whatever Sammy does wrong at this premium live event, I think the Bloodline will come off that, oh, no, everything's fine. You know, we're Bloodline with this, this, and that. And they'll give Sami Zayn the false sense of security that everything is okay. Maybe Sammy is caught talking to Kevin Owens backstage, and the cameras are not supposed to see it. The problem is, if you notice social media lately, even when Sammy was talking to Kevin Owens and he lied to Jey Uso, you know, when Sami Zayn was on social media, fans in droves are tweeting him about, you know, so WWE, give Triple H credit for this. WWE is not treating people like they're fools. Like, they're actually acknowledging things on television that we would believe. Like, look at the LA Knight Bray Wyatt stuff. You know, like, LA Knight in his promo, you know, is actually like saying, you know, that Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy are the same person, and look at the mask, look at the background, look at this, look at that. And, you know, if that was a Vince McMahon headed creative, you know, you would not have L.A. Knight being that truthful. And L.A. Knight also saying you're coming back and you're putting on masks and you're doing this. You know, L.A. Knight actually kind of like chopped down Bray Wyatt a little bit in his promos. I don't think that would have gone to that level. So, you know, WWE is not treating us like we're stupid. Like, back then, you know, like GTV, like, we saw, like, things going on that we weren't supposed to see. But how many times, like, somebody would do something in the back, and then for a whole week, the other wrestler acts like they don't know what's going on. Okay, here's a good one. Like, somebody hugs someone else, and you see on the screen that that person hugging has this really serious look on their face, like, you know, they're about to fuck this person up. And for a whole week, the other person will act like, you know, they didn't see nothing. You know, watch your back, Sammy. Did you see his reaction? Remember the cage? Remember the cage? Remember the look that Roman and Jay did to Sammy when they won War Games? You know, that bled into social media, and they immediately tried to knock that shit down. So I think it happens on a SmackDown. I really do. Especially with that kind of TV deal. Oh, I think it'll happen on SmackDown. Charlie's asked me favorite Seinfeld's episode. There are so many. I mean, if I had to think of one right off the bat, Ass Man, the license plate. I actually have that plate somewhere in this house. I showed it on an episode, one of the first episodes when I was putting plates in the background. I mean, unfortunately, it didn't catch on, so I stopped. The only plate that I'll ever show is Daphne's. You know, I'll always pay tribute to Daphne in the background, but Ass Man is one of the fun. I mean, Seinfeld, there are way too many, way too many. Favorite cast member from Seinfeld? You know, unfortunately, I got to say it, and it's a shame, you know, what he turned out to be, but Kramer. I always enjoyed Kramer, and yeah, it's kind of like unfortunate, you know, the way he had that meltdown and acted the way he did. He never recovered from it. So, yeah, that kind of sucked. Oh, yeah, the puffy shirt. You could go on for hours about Seinfeld. There are just too many. There's just way too many. The girl with the man hands. Believe it, I tell you, that actually is a big deal. Like, I thought about it when I saw that episode. Like, if I dated a girl and she had, like, man hands, or if she had a mustache, I don't know. That might be a little bit of a deal breaker. Just like I told that story once. I went on a date with a girl, and she was literally in the passenger seat of my car, and I told the joke, and she started laughing, and she showed her teeth, and the middle of her tooth, you know, it had like the, remember the mother from Good Times? Like, she could actually probably, like, spit saliva, like, down the block through the, I saw the gap on the teeth. I'm like, I can't get past that. I could only imagine, you know, like, fooling around with her, and there's, like, a glump of saliva that just shoots out through the tooth. She had that gap in her teeth. Ugh, no. That's the role. Chris says I'm funny. I'm being honest. That's the God honest truth, you know? I dated a girl once that she had a booger hanging out in her nose. Now, like, what do you do? Do you tell someone, like, hey, you know, how can you say? You can't, you know? One time a girl had, like, food in her teeth. I think I said something there. I said, I think you got something in your tooth. But, you know, do you tell someone? I'm curious, guys, gals. If you go on a date with someone, you know, and they got like a nice, you know, like booger hanging out of their nose. Do you tell them? What do? You know? The soup episode was funny, Charlie. That's Seinfeld, no soup for you. It's not a wrestling podcast, as some of you might think. Yeah, Superman was fine. Like I said, you can go on for hours. There really isn't a bad Seinfeld episode. There really isn't. But it took a long time for me to catch on. Once I got it, it never left. All right, guys, I think we should start bringing this home. I still got to do a synopsis. I got to make a thumbnail for the best of for tomorrow. I have somebody waiting for me inside that I'd like to unwrap like a Christmas gift tonight, but, you know, probably won't because we're kind of tired. Yeah, just tell it like it is, you know, nothing to be ashamed. I mean, listen, there's been times with me, you know, that I'm not proud of, you know, some of my antics, you know, seeing someone, dating someone, you know, kind of like, you know, whatever. Chaos, I'm getting used to doing thumbnails. It's just that there's only so many hours in a day, you know, and I do realize that thumbnails do attract maybe some people that don't normally tune into the shows. The thing is, though, is that what people need to realize is that the shows that I do, they're very time sensitive. So if, like, you do a show on a Monday or a Wednesday, 9 times out of 10, you know, a week later, nobody really wants to click on those shows because there's another episode of Raw already going down. There's another episode of Dynamite already going down. Like, they're not driven where it's particular topics that you might want to revisit something with Sasha. You want to revisit something with AEW. You want to revisit something with CM Punk. And I try to do that on the Saturdays more than anything. That's why if you notice with Saturdays, like SmackDown results or Rampage results, it's usually all the way at the bottom of the list because I don't want people tuning in just for those results. There's 100,000 podcasts that do that. I'd rather get into topics that maybe 2 weeks from now you still want to tune into, you know, about the Riddle stuff. I went a little bit too long yesterday talking about Riddle's choice of mates in 2022, but overall people kind of agreed with what I said, that, you know, he's got an interesting choice of women in 2022. And, you know, again, it's, you got to feel a little bad for those women, because it's got to be much more difficult to find a partner when you're in the adult film industry. You know, if you go on eHarmony, like, hey, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm an architect. What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a movie star. Oh, really? What do you do? Adult films. Wait, so you mean to tell me that you share your thing with Lizard Schlong the Third or Hugh Mungus? You know, like, I'm not interested in getting involved with someone that might be getting it in different parts of their body that, yeah, no. But at the same time, though, these women, they fall for this guy, fall deep for this guy. And this guy, you know, moves on, you know, changes girlfriends like he changes his underwear, and these women feel burned. Unfortunately, that's not sexual abuse. That's not sexual misconduct. That is a guy who you probably should not have a serious relationship with. You want to have sex in the corner? You want to have, casual relations, kind of lonely, and you want to just have a little bit of, you know, company, a little bit of extra attached to it? Yeah, then that might, Riddle might be the perfect person for you. But for some of these women, they think that Matt Riddle, they're going to be Mrs. Riddle, you know, and you see it. You know, these women are making these claims, assault, 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 assault. But what's the assault? You noticed that yesterday? Like, what actually did he do? Well, he promised me that I was his everything. He promised me that I was his only. He promised me that I uplifted him and he completes me, or I complete him. He lied to me. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like for a lot of these women, he lied to me. That's not assault. That is someone you probably shouldn't have a serious relationship with. I'm curious to see where this goes, but I'm still not sure of what Riddle, if he got suspended, what he got suspended for. You realize yesterday, people were shocked. People were shocked to see where that cocaine and ecstasy claims came from. It came from a fucking August tweet. No connections. Nobody in the back for WWE. Nobody in the Riddle camp. Somebody saw the tweet from August and heard the suspension and said, oh, that's what he was suspended for. And that's why within a week you saw people talking about it and refused to say the drug of choice, because they didn't know and probably got scared. Like, this motherfucker, you know, if it ends up that they were wrong, you're accusing a guy of doing blow and ecstasy. You have no proof behind it. Yeah, you might get sued over it. I have E&O insurance for my shows. You think I want to pay that kind of money every year? I have it because, God forbid, I make an accusation towards someone very serious and I'm wrong. And if that person grabs a lawyer and says, I'm taking you to court because you claim this and it wasn't true, even if it's ridiculous, like, I can't believe that person's taking that podcast to the court. Yeah. People may sympathize with me on Twitter. I still got to fucking go get a lawyer. I still got to get somebody to represent me in court. What do you think I'm going to do, a GoFundMe and suddenly all this money's going to pour in? DT, you go after Riddle. You go after him. That's fucked up. He's suing a podcaster. No one's going to do that. People are like, hey, you know, you made your bed. You got to have to lie in it. All my haters would be like, yeah, fuck that greasy, fat Italian guy. So I have E&O insurance. God forbid I ever get sued. Hey, insurance company, take care of this for me. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. There's a lot of reckless people out there. I choose not to be one of them anymore. Austin Nance, did I see the news about Velveteen Dream? You didn't read me my rights. You didn't read me my rights. You didn't read me my rights. I will probably cover that on Wednesday. Listen, I have defended Velveteen Dream quite a bit. Asking someone, what school did you go to, doesn't mean, let me see you naked. I don't believe Velveteen Dream was trying to get dirty in conversation with underage people. I don't believe it. When WWE, a billion-dollar company, says that they hired outside companies to investigate this, Velveteen Dream gave WWE his phone. You could delete the tweets, you could bleach bit it, you could do whatever you want with it. There's forensics that can be pulled. There's forensics that could show that he used bleach bit. WWE paid a decent amount of money to have an outside. This is legit news, everyone. Nobody wanted to talk about it. WWE sent it to an outside company, and they did forensics. They got permission. They went to the cell phone company. They pulled all the data, and there was no proof that he did anything illegal, and there was no proof that he tried to cover up anything. They did not find evidence that he downloaded software and eviscerated old tweets, because Velveteen Dream would have been fired just for the perception that he covered up something. They don't know what it is. Came back that he didn't do any of that. That's why I defended him. This footage of his arrest, I can't defend him. I can't defend him. He looked and sounded ridiculous. He looked like he was on something, in my opinion. I say it's a shame, because Velveteen Dream is a talented wrestler, and he's young enough that if he would just grow the fuck up a little bit, I think that he could turn it around. But unfortunately, you know, and it's like what Jim Cornette said this week. How many times have you ever seen someone sitting in the back of a police car? You plead your case, and then the cop says, you know what, you're right. And they open the cop door, they uncuff you, and they say, okay, go home. I've never seen it. In the 20-something years of Cops, I've never seen an episode where somebody goes in the backseat, pleads their case, and then the cop says, you know what, you convinced me. Now, if you have the wrong person, and you realize, oh, we pulled over the wrong car, that's different. So Velveteen Dream, I can't defend him in this one. So I think I will come up with some footage Wednesday. We will actually play some of the footage. I'll have to edit it a little bit. Otherwise, TMZ will zap me for the footage. So we will edit a little bit. But Velveteen Dream, man, I don't think he's going to have a future wrestling career. Maybe 5-10 years from now, which is possible. But, man, it's a shame, because he could have gone a lot further. Jeff, what is on a Don Tony sandwich? It's what I ate earlier. If I wasn't so unprofessional, I would go inside and show you the final piece of the hero. But for me, the ultimate sandwich, Italian bread, semolina Italian bread. We'll leave you with this. Semolina Italian bread. Cut it open. Take out the insides. Us Italians call it the guts. Hey, give me a hero. Take the guts out. That means you take all the inside of the Italian bread out as much as you can. And then you put a layer of boar's head boiled ham. A layer of, in this order too, because when you bite into it, certain order, it's the way the food tastes. You put a layer of boar's head ham, a layer of Genoa salami, a layer of pepperoni, a layer of mortadella, a layer of provolone cheese, a layer of ham gabagol. You could also then put another light layer of provolone cheese if you want. Sometimes you could put prosciutto. I don't like putting prosciutto on an Italian Godfather hero, because prosciutto can be a little bit chewy, if anybody's ever had prosciutto before. Then what you do is you take shredded lettuce, tomatoes, thinly sliced, oregano, oil, vinegar, and that's it. If you saw this video, here, look. Look at the first few seconds. Look, you'll see the sandwich. It only takes a few seconds. Let me see if I can fast forward. Yeah, all right, here, hold on. There you go. Let's see if I can go back a little. That's the sandwich. That's the sandwich. That's the sandwich. So It can't be beat. Shit is phenomenal. I already had three pieces today. So I actually had a piece in this room. About 15 minutes before we went live, I had it right here on a dish. And I was going to show everyone the piece of the sandwich because everybody always wants to talk about it. It's the hero that I did at the ECW stuff. The hero you see Francie biting into a guilty as charged. And I looked at it. I'm like, that sandwich is not going to sit there while I do an entire show. I ate it. All right, everyone. Oh, the only bad thing about that sandwich is salty. Every cold cut is salty, with the exception of the cheese and the ham is not very salty. Genoa salami is very salty. Pepperoni is very salty. Ham gabagol is very salty. So that is one of the things, though. If you're going to eat something like that, make sure you have a nice drink with it. Otherwise, and honestly, this is the wrong thing to have. Coke Zero. I drink a Coke Zero after eating that, and I'm thirstier than I was before. I drank the whole thing. I could be like one of those bad commercials where I'm just sitting there like, I drink the whole thing. Literally, I put the can down. I'm like, I'm thirsty. I'm thirstier. It made me more thirsty. Seltzer is awesome. Big fan of seltzer. Are we still going here? Should we still go? Fuck it. Let's go another 10 minutes. But let's talk about wrestling. Let's close out the show wrestling. Let's call it that. Wombology, he's sure I noticed one of my videos got claimed by WWE when it showed up that Pretty Deadly and New Day clip. Yeah, they wanted me to edit the clip, and I just haven't had a chance to do it. The thing is, though, is that almost nobody, like I said, once a week goes by, 10 days, there's really not many people that'll click on it, but the audio side is there, so I could edit it, and let me also remind people, WWE, when they flag stuff, when AEW flag stuff on YouTube, they're not physically looking at your podcast episode and flagging you. See, let me give you a little revelation that a lot of podcasters refuse to tell you. Whenever you see a podcaster out there that says, wow, that's fucked up, AEW flagged my episode, it's not that cut and dry. What happens is YouTube has an algorithm. Like a song, for example. Somebody records a song. That song is in their computer database. When you download a song, you're not downloading, you're downloading data. If you ever open up a song, you're looking at data. Everything is data. So what happens is, that data is stored in YouTube's data banks. So if that data that you put on a podcast matches the data for that song, it's going to link up automatically, and YouTube knows that you should not have that song in your podcast. They'll flag you, and they'll say you can't get monetized, or if it's worse, you get a copyright strike. When it comes to video, WWE, a match, a promo, a segment, AEW, usually as if you show less than 5 seconds, you're safe. You show a couple of seconds, you're safe. If you edit it, if you take a couple of pieces out of it, chop a second off, every 4 seconds, chop a second off, or do like a segue, little special effect, you won't get in trouble for that either. If you notice, if you ever watch matches on YouTube that regular people post, you'll notice sometimes they'll put it in the corner. They'll put it like distorted. They'll make the match faster. You hear the promo and it's slower. They will manipulate the size, the shape, the speed, so it doesn't match the algorithm. If you just throw it out there as it is, it's going to get caught from YouTube every time. So no, AEW is not hunting podcasts like people try to portray it. There was a claim that Aubrey Edwards was trying to get podcasts shut down. That's not true. What happens is that AEW submits to YouTube this data we do not want anybody using. So if you use it and YouTube's computers match it, it's immediately flagged. They don't send it to AEW first and say, hey, Aubrey, hey, Tony, hey, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to zap this person? No, it gets zapped automatically, and then you got to plead your case, or you edit it, or you take something out. And then the computers no longer match it up. Right now, if I go on that clip and I tell YouTube, yeah, edit that 10 seconds out, it'll automatically clear the issue because now the computers, I have nothing that links up. That's how it works. A lot of people don't know that. Some people out there do know that, but they want to come off as the victim, or they want to come off that they're being targeted, and that's not true. It's not true at all. So, all right. So we're definitely going to jet out of here in about 8 minutes. So I know we were only going an hour. Then it was an hour and a half. But, hey, you all are still sticking around. You're not leaving. So I will be more than happy to stay like another 7 or 8 minutes. We definitely got to cut this off at 2 hours because a lot of people are not going to want to endure 2 hours. We did a lot of content this week. And we ended up doing a mailbag on Thursday. So the next one will be in 10 days, not this Thursday, the following Thursday. All right. Who would I like to see The Rock face at Mania other than Roman Reigns? Oof. Who would I like to see him face at Mania other than Roman Reigns? If I had to choose someone, Austin Theory. There's nobody else. I mean, it's got to be an up-and-coming star of tomorrow. The idea is for, listen, The Rock in a match at WrestleMania can be used one of two ways. High-profile, mega match, like one of the biggest matches in recent history, or it's got to be used to help give a rub to someone. And if he doesn't face Roman Reigns, I don't want to just see versus AJ Styles. I don't want to see just this person. Like, it's got to be someone who really could benefit from having a match with The Rock. So I personally think if it's not something like an Austin Theory or somebody, you know, that's going to be a future megastar, no, I don't see anybody. I don't see a Chad Gable. I don't see, there's almost nobody. And there are fantasy matches that I would love to see, but as far as WrestleMania goes, it's either a headliner, larger than life match, or it's got to be to give someone a rub. Charlie says Dominic got arrested. Dominic who? Dominic Mysterio? Hold the horses. Hold the horses. I got to check this one out. I hope he's not talking about Dominic the Donkey. Dominic Mysterio. Oh, wait. Oh, wait, whoa. Oh, wait a minute. Charlie, don't do that. Hold on a second. Dominic Mysterio was recently arrested for his and Rhea Ripley's unwanted guys, that will not happen again. It's a storyline. Wait, there's no other arrest here. Oh, come on, man. Let's see. I'm not sure if there's an issue in iTunes. I just tried to download your show from this morning. Oh, that's from a week ago. Sorry. Yeah, no. That's a storyline. Yeah, no. Sorry, everyone. That's not how I wanted to end the show tonight. So, no, Dominic Mysterio did not get arrested. This is, no. I'm double-checking, everyone. Dominic Mysterio gets arrested in parentheses on Christmas Eve. Rey Mysterio calls police parentheses on Christmas Eve. Dominic Mysterio, quote unquote, arrested for trying to ruin the family's Christmas. Storyline. All right, let's wrap this up. All right, last question. Who should win the Royal Rumble? Who should win the Royal Rumble? I'll go with Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes, listen, I still am going with what I've been saying. Winner of the Rumble gets a title shot at Mania. Winner of Elimination Chamber gets a title shot at Mania. Adam Pearce has a dilemma. We have two number one contenders. They tease a match on TV that those two people face each other, and the winner gets the match at WrestleMania. Comes down to Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. No, the feud does not return. This is a one-match, one-off. We know that they make beautiful music together. We get one more match between the two. It ends up in a bullshit clusterfuck. Maybe Sami Zayn gets involved. Maybe somebody from the Bloodline gets involved. And Adam Pearce has to make a decision. Since the match did not come to a conclusion with a clear winner, that the following week he goes on the mic and he says, Seth Rollins, you have a title match at WrestleMania. Cody looks a little bit dejected. Bloodline is not happy. But then Adam Pearce also says, Cody, you have a title shot at WrestleMania as well. Roman Reigns will defend both championships in separate matches. Roman Reigns looks like shocked beyond disbelief. The only question remaining is, who goes for the WWE Championship? Who goes for the Universal Championship? In my opinion, if Cody Rhodes is going to win a heavyweight title, it's got to be the WWE Championship, not the Universal Championship. I think with the storyline, with his father, with the legacy, with the Rhodes family and this and that, he's got to be part of the WWE Championship lineage. Seth Rollins, I don't think would have any objection whatsoever being WWE Universal Champion. And then if that happens, you have another dilemma, because Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes are Raw wrestlers. That means one of those two would probably have to go to the other roster. Seth Rollins going to SmackDown, being on the SmackDown roster as the Universal Champion, I could see that happening. That's the scenario I go with. I'm probably wrong, but that is the scenario I choose. You have two winners. You have a dilemma. Pearce puts the match together. It ends up with no winner. He announces two title matches at Mania. Roman has to defend both belts on separate nights, one against Rollins, one against Cody. What do you all think? Let me know. Post a comment. But for now, I'm going to officially jet out of here for tonight. So Christmas night, it was absolutely a pleasure hanging out with y'all for almost 2 hours. Great conversation, you know, whether it's wrestling or old school TV or going on dates with women with boogers in their noses. I mean, it is kind of funny. Sunday night, it gets wild and it gets into some interesting conversations. But I love doing this for you guys. I love, listen, when some of you say this is a fun escape for all of you, it is for me as well. These are a boatload of fun, and we'll do it again a week from today, which will be New Year's Day. As of right now, a New Year's Eve live stream seems to be happening. I'm not 100% certain yet. I will know by the middle of the week, so I will make an official announcement this week. But it should happen because I don't like going out New Year's Eve. So leave any questions or comments after the show is over. I almost said after the beep. Hotline days, everyone. Hotline days! Join me Monday night after Raw, 11:05. We'll get into, you know, a little recap of what they got into. We'll get in some news as well. This Wednesday, I will be up here. We'll definitely talk a little bit of that Quincy Elliott shit, the Velveteen Dream shit. We'll talk a little NXT, AEW. We'll see what goes down. And, you know, we'll see what progresses with Sasha Banks. I'm still amazed after 5 days, no one has snagged a picture of Sasha Banks in Japan. It just goes to show you where these people based their news on. It was based on a tweet. It's so beyond obvious, it's not even funny. But eventually Sasha will be in Japan. Eventually she will be portrayed out there. The only question is, do they put her in front of the cameras before January 1st? If they do not, then WWE was not going to let her officially out of her contract until December 31st, 2022 at 11:59 p.m. and 59 seconds. And then you realize that, you know, people posted that shit because they wanted to be first, not because they had actual news. But who knows? Maybe by this time tomorrow night on the Raw Post Show, maybe we have heard something about Sasha Banks in Japan. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. And, yeah, we'll continue this conversation later this week. So much love, everyone. I will catch you all again soon. Merry Christmas once again. Happy holidays. And all the best to each and every one of you. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.